Well, you know, last Sunday I sort of started us on a new trajectory. Sort of a what do you do with kind of approach to some things. And last week I talked about what do you do with anger? Because if we're human, we get angry. And sometimes we don't do very nice things with it. Today, well, we're going to talk about one of those things that right now has pretty much hit the fan in the culture. And I don't want to ignore it. I want to stare it down, and I want to treat it directly. Because if we don't, no one else will. So, John, we're going to start out with a couple of videos, okay? One's about 5 minutes, one's about 2 minutes. And let's see if you can figure out what we're going to talk about. I think, yes. John, next slide. It's, what do you do with prejudice? What do you do with it? Because evidently, our culture is not doing very well with it. And unfortunately, it's not something that just popped up yesterday. And it's something that through the history of the nation, in fact, let's just try, through the history of civilized man, we have not done a very good job with it. But the reality is, it has pervaded almost every culture, almost every place. And we've got to do something. We can't let it continue. We have to take our responsibility to deal with it. Does that make sense? The Bible tells us it's something we have a responsibility to be different about. So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. So if I just ask you the question, what do you do with it? And there's a lot of different nuances. You can take this question in a lot of different ways. Okay? What do you do with it? So let's hear how you hear the question. What do you do with prejudice? Okay, so we have got to acknowledge, okay, in ourselves and if we need to in other places where it's being denied. We're going to see in a minute, prejudice is not limited to a racial direction. Okay? It just happens to be the hot topic in our culture at this point.
All right.
Oh, no. That's fair. I'll tell you, you know, just actually, honestly, just standing here right now, I'm remembering something that I'm going to share with you. I didn't plan this. I am looking back on my life at this point in time right now. And I know one of the complicating reasons why my dad left church was because when I was 6 years old, my dad went to bat in whatever church he and my mom were in. They were youth leaders. And it was over this issue. And my dad lost. And he never came back. And it was 4 years later that all other things began to happen. And life was very different. I'm not saying that this one thing is what caused all that. No. But there was nothing for him there anymore. Church had betrayed what he knew to be right. And he was right. 1965, St. Louis, Missouri. My dad and some others were very concerned about inner city St. Louis and allowing our church to be accessible to some kids from inner city St. Louis that they had been, in quote, reaching out to in the inner city. The church said no. He said, see you later, because you're not doing what you said. And that was it. Now we continued to go to churches, but there was a difference from that point on. Well, you know, I was young enough that I didn't get all of that. Now this is what I do remember. I do remember that two of those kids showed up on my family's doorstep. And I remember those kids spending the night in our basement, which was half finished, and taking a shower in our basement. I remember that. And I don't know if that would have happened anywhere else. So I had a great role model in that respect, is that my parents were different. And now I'm going to confess. Here's the other thing I was going to show you. There are things that pull my trigger, and I would have to be honest with you and say I'm prejudiced about. I can't stand arrogance. And then I remember that I was arrogant. Because I've been arrogant. I've been an arrogant person at times. So it's hard. You know, we all have those things that we have a hard time swallowing. But when we're human and we remember that we too have those things that pull our triggers that we just don't like in people. Whether, you know, you think arrogance is something people can control, you know. People can't control eye color, hair color, skin color, where they were born, who their parents were. You know, that's just it's just lunacy, okay, to be against somebody because of those things. But those things do exist. We're going to acknowledge them. They exist in the church in America, have existed in the church of America, and it's not all done with yet, but yet we have made strides. We're you know, just trying to be honest about all that. So what do we do with it? How do we handle it? How do we approach it? I think Julie's right. We have to be honest about the things that pull our triggers, the things that either we have been inculcated to think is acceptable. Because the problem with that word is that when we allow our prejudice to be unchallenged, we will do anything that we think we're justified in doing because we say our prejudice is acceptable. And we will do anything. And that's why there are people burning cars in Baltimore. That's why there are people who do things to other people, like do horrendous acts of violence against other people. Like I remember whenever we were in Texas, it was the guy that was killed, mutilated by two idiots who chained a man to the back of a truck. You may remember that story. That was horrendous. You can do horrendous things when you let that idea not go challenged. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why it's so important for us to deal with? Because our little prejudice can turn into a blank check to doing whatever we think. And that's not godly. We've got to do what we can in our little world and speak up. Now I'm going to tell you, I have conversations with people across the board. Okay? You know where I work. You know what I do besides being here. Okay? And I don't mind having the conversations with my students from time to time. I'll give you an example. There have been times where I've been able to say, guys, help me understand why this is okay for you, but it's not okay for me. Why is it okay for you to talk to each other this way, and you think it's not going to affect the way that somebody... Because we've just got to be honest about all this. And let's process it. I want to listen. I want to understand. Because it's hard. I'm trying... Whenever people are trying to be respectful of other cultures and in other ethnicities, how is it that we have to understand those things in order to be able to respect one another. We need to have those conversations. We need to be talking to people and saying we want to understand. Because if people who say they belong to Jesus don't do that, who in the world else is going to do that? I don't know that I have one answer, and that's the issue. There is not one answer. Is it wrong to try to continue a culture? Okay. Is it wrong to desire that your family would continue to value its heritage? Okay. We don't find those things to be negative. It's when we begin to treat other people in ways that we would not treat those people that becomes the issue. We see those people as in some way inferior or less desirable or less important, right? Because you can do things to people you don't think are as human as you think you are, right? And that's wrong. There's nothing in the Bible that justifies that. All right. This is all the prelim here, okay? I don't know that I can give you a formula, but I can give you some things that we have to chew on, okay? So we're going to look at some things that we need to chew on. And the truth is, I am not in any way exhausting everything we could be talking about this morning. There's no way. I'm not going to be able to do that. But there are some things we can. So John, go to that first passage. Several of these passages we're going to look at come from the Apostle Paul. Okay? In fact, most all of them are. So in Ephesians 2, Paul was addressing an issue in a context. He said, "Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth," and that would be like you and me, people who were not Jewish, "by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that is, done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." Now you go on in this passage and he talks about the enmity that used to exist between the Jews and the Gentiles had been destroyed. It had been obliterated. And whatever line there might have been of demarcation between the two had been erased. So that now there was one new man, which is kind of interesting because the church is called the body of Christ. One new man. There was evidence in what he's dealing with that there were people who had a religious prejudice. And if you were not a believer who had gone through all the steps that the Jewish believers, who were the first believers, by the way, we'll acknowledge, had gone through, then you were not an official follower. And Paul's saying, no, 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 no. That's not the way that it works. Because if you say that, then you're saying that a human being can affect a change because of a ritual. And that's not a valid foundation for a prejudice. Okay? Number one, evidence one. Second passage. Galatians. Now, interestingly enough, Galatians deals with a lot of these issues if you read Galatians, because it's the book where you find out that Paul had to confront Peter about an inconsistency in his dealing with Gentiles on this very issue that we've just spoken about. He says to the Galatians, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek." What kind of delineation might that be? Jew nor Greek? What kind of wall of separation is that? Okay, it's ethnic, but it's also religious in this case. It is, okay? Neither Jew nor Greek. What's the next one? Slave nor free. What's the delineation there? Social status, economic status, and then we've got the whole thing of ownership. Can you really own another person? What's the next one? Male or female? It's kind of like, hey, let's shoot that shotgun up here. Let's find out what we hit. Okay? Male nor female. The line there, the gender gap. Okay. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. It's faith. It's faith being the thing. Faith in God, faith in what He's done in Christ Jesus that causes us to be acceptable to God because of the righteousness of Christ. And it's faith, always been faith, and heirs according to the promise. We have a lot of things up there, don't we? A lot of different... Are any of those things still existing in our culture? Okay. You got the glass ceiling? When they're always talking about, you know, politicians like to throw all this stuff up when it fits their agenda. Okay. But all these other things are still in some way, in some culture, someplace on the face of this planet, these are still issues. And most of them are still issues in our country. The answer begins where? Okay. Faith in Christ. We've got to be transformed from the inside out. Because no one can kind of work all this up. But the cool thing in this is that it's saying that in Christ Jesus, these things will not exist. So the answer is Jesus. Which is why the world, the flesh, and the devil are fighting so hard to keep Jesus from being the issue. Because the walls come down, the hatred comes down, the blind acts of violence that get justified because of a prejudice, they all go away in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying church. I'm saying in Jesus. And when I say church, I'm talking about institutional, organizational, because we're still pretty broken a lot of times in this country. We've got everything backwards. Do you hear where I'm going? Do you see where I'm going? Do you have any thoughts? If you look at the Bible and you let the Bible be your guide, there is no politically correct definition for prejudice or partiality. The politically correct definition in our culture says that it's okay for somebody who's been oppressed to then be prejudiced against those in the group that historically were prejudicial towards you. Sorry, the Bible doesn't let you up on that. Okay? It is not the way it works. For whatever human failings or foibles any of us may have, I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, you know, bottom line, Martin Luther King had a ton right. Okay? One of the privileges that I get of teaching where I do is I get to talk about that speech at least once a semester. And I get to use that as an opportunity. I do it through metaphors. We talk about the metaphors in the speech because, yeah, I teach language and writing and stuff. Okay, so I can hit that speech and we talk about all the images and all the metaphors that exist in that speech. And it reminds me every time that we need a guy like him right now. We need God to raise up a person who's not going to try to take advantage of prejudice and is not going to rubber stamp political correctness to be a hero in the culture. We need that. Yeah. So I love quoting Maya Angelou. There's several things that she said that I really like, you know. Yeah. If you ever, you know, for somebody that, this is going to sound odd, okay, but in the little book that I keep telling you about, Wouldn't Take Nothing from My Journey Now, it's a little quick book, it may be 100-something pages, maybe, and every chapter is like a page or two. But if you look at what she says in there, there's a story about her Aunt T, T-E-E. Aunt T goes against everything. Now, this is Maya Angelou, forgive me for invoking political stuff, okay? I'm not trying to say one thing or the other. I'm just saying it as it is, okay? She was largely associated with a Democratic political viewpoint, okay? But she tells the story of Aunt T, who was a self-initiated woman in a time where all these things that we're talking about existed, and she was economically depressed, and yet the woman found a way to take matters into her own hands once her low-life husband, who said he was going to run off and be a preacher and go marry some other woman somewhere else, okay, that's the story, okay? She took the initiative. She went and stood at the crossroads in between two factories and decided that that was the place where she needed to go sell the things that she could make. And basically, to put it into layman's terms, she started a lunch stand at the crossroads. And she took care of her kids and herself and got the things because she took the initiative to go do. She did not wait for someone to take care of her because there was nobody coming. I love that story. And I love for my students to have to deal with that story because it is not what our culture is teaching anybody. And what I'm trying to get to, okay, with the Baltimore thing, okay, is really simple. You will do horrific things to whoever gets in your way and you justify it by your prejudice. There were African-American policemen who were hurt in Baltimore because people were rioting, not protesting. I don't have a problem with protesting at all, okay? But people who were rioting didn't care anymore who they hurt, and it was their prejudice that allowed them to take that next step. Does that make sense? It will always lead you to go farther than what you should. Always. Because it's no longer standing on righteousness. It is now moving into the other territory. So what do you do with prejudice? First of all, you identify it in yourself and you're honest about it. Okay. The second is you find that your answer comes through Jesus. It is the way. It's God's way. It's the way that He decided He was going to drive this road through the desert. Is through the blood of Jesus. Getting rid of this stuff. Okay. Now, we're going to look at another passage. And you're going to see the themes just more and more of the same. Okay. John, next one. So, back to Colossians. Now there is no Greek or Jew, again, circumcised, uncircumcised. We already dealt with that. Barbarian, this is kind of like saying, no matter where you live, folks, you can live out there in the mountains in Scandinavia. It doesn't matter at all. Scythian, again, it's one of those cultures. It's kind of like saying Eastern Mongolia in Middle Eastern talk. Okay? Slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's us. It's those things that we're talking about. That's us. And this, again, this goes to our politically correct environment that we struggle with. Okay? There's a difference between having a conviction based on something that's in the Bible and being prejudiced against somebody. We can love people, care for them, live beside them, work, care, befriend, have lives shared, and it doesn't mean that we have to say that we at some point are not going to agree with what we believe is a conviction that's a God-given conviction. Okay? It's whenever we walk over the line and we begin to act and treat people as less than human and we don't acknowledge that we're all in process of growing and understanding God, and I'm not at the same point as other people. That doesn't mean that I have to park my convictions or you have to park your convictions. But at the same time, what we do know is that we're supposed to love and care and treat and respect, and that doesn't change. And prejudice does not do that. It does not do that at all. Prejudice is pernicious. All right, John, I think there's one more up there. This is a long passage. I'm just going to let you go look at this, because this is one you've done this, you've read this before. But in James' discussion, he's talking about partiality. And it's not a situation of ethnicity. It's not social standing. In this case, it's a matter of somebody who's got money versus somebody who doesn't. And I'm interpreting partiality as you treat them different, and what do you do whenever you're prejudiced? You treat people different because of whatever that characteristic is. So that's what he's talking about here. Are you with me? This is not easy to talk about. It's not cut and dried, other than the fact that, like Julie said, we have to acknowledge it. We have to acknowledge what's in us. We also have to remember that it's the way that we begin to deal with it is by trusting Jesus. And that's how we overcome this. And then the rest is listening and obeying and living who we are. I don't know what else to say, but I think at the same time I'm not necessarily sure that we're finished. So let's just keep listening, and if you've got something, we'll try to deal with it as we need to. All right, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you that we can trust you, and that you are holy, and that you are right. Lord, I pray that we would be able to be honest with you about these things that we have talked about today, and that, Lord, we would be able to have the power and the influence in order to make a difference in our part of the world, so that, Lord, light and salt are spread about. Lord, we pray for the destruction of this stronghold of prejudice in our nation and against its foothold here in Savannah. Lord, I have to ask this in Jesus' name, because it is in His name that this will happen. Amen.